tyranny, forged by freedom. That's what made us the greatest nation this world has known. We must resurrect that spirit to preserve liberty for ourselves and our posterity. This is Revolution's Revival. And now, your host, the cigar-smoking, politically incorrect, patriot of the hour, Caleb Shoemate.
"15 days to slow the spread." That's what we were told back in March of 2020 by Dr. Fauci and the medical professionals at the CDC. Here it is, January 2021. The lockdown's still in effect in many places. Never mind the effect that it's had on the economy. Was all this really necessary, or was it just a smoke and mirrors game? I've got an interesting tidbit for you guys today. There's a new study that came out, and this is according to the New York Post, that suggests that perhaps the lockdowns weren't necessary at all. Perhaps their effectiveness was very minimal compared to voluntary measures. This is according to an article that came out Tuesday on the New York Post. It reads, "A study of global response to the coronavirus pandemic found that mandatory lockdowns may not offer significantly more benefit to slowing the deadly bug spread than social distancing and other voluntary measures," according to a report. The study compared cases in early 2020 in the U.S. to England, France, Germany, Iran, Italy, the Netherlands, and Spain. All countries that imposed mandatory lockdowns and business closures to South Korea and Sweden, which instituted less severe voluntary responses, Newsweek reported. It sought to analyze the effect of less restrictive or more restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions, or NPIs, had on an individual behavior and curbing the transmission of the virus. The early adoption of these more restrictive non-pharmaceutical interventions in early 2020 was justified because the rapid spread of the disease overwhelmed the health systems in some hard-hitting places, and substantial uncertainty about the virus morbidity and mortality, the researchers affiliated with Stanford University said. But using a mathematical model, the researchers in the peer-reviewed study determined that there was no clear significant beneficial effect of more restrictive measures on case growth in any country. "We failed to find a strong evidence supporting a role of more restrictive NPIs in the control of COVID in early 2020, the researcher said in summary. "We do not question the role of all public health interventions or of coordinated communications about the epidemic, but we failed to find additional benefit to stay-at-home orders and business closures," they added. The researchers acknowledge that the underlying data and methods have important limitations. First, cross-country comparisons are difficult. Countries may have different rules, cultures, and relationships between the government and citizenry. They noted that the data cannot fully exclude the possibility of some benefits. However, even if they exist, the benefits may not match the numerous harms of aggressive measures. Among the harmful effects of lockdown cited were opioid-related overdoses, missed vaccinations, an increase in non-COVID diseases from missed health services, domestic abuse, and suicides. This was all according to the New York Post. I will post the full article as well as the research in the show notes of this episode if you guys want to look at it. But imagine that. These lockdowns have little to no effect on coronavirus. Is it possible that the American people at large have been played for fools? Is it possible that we have trusted our government too much to take care of us, to keep us safe, as if they ever could do that? from an invisible enemy. Need I remind you of the words of Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton? Never let a good crisis go to waste. So what have they done here? The government and the media are at it again. They've gotten in bed together with a bunch of quote-unquote medical experts. And I put that in quotations because what have they done to the people who offer different opinions? Opinions that suggest that maybe coronavirus isn't as bad as it was projected by the mainstream media and the people they have in their pocket. They've silenced them. At what point do we stop putting up with this crap? I often ask myself, what will it take for us to question with boldness, as Thomas Jefferson said, even the existence of God? For if there be a God, he must surely prefer reason to blindfolded fear. Obviously, I'm summarizing that beautiful quote. But I wonder to myself, what will it take? How far does government have to push it before people get tired of their bullcrap and they dare to be free? What will it take to wake us up as a people and realize that we've been played? Our liberties are more important than security. Government cannot guarantee your security. You know what? Life is dangerous. But I prefer the dangers of liberty than the tyranny of security. And it's a false promise of security. It really is. Because you can't even be guaranteed security even if you were in a prison. What happens if you're in prison? Yeah, you can get shanked. You can get taken out by a rival gang member. So would you prefer to live in a prison because you're afraid to dare to be free? Would you prefer to have no freedoms, to have government control every aspect of your life? I'm telling you guys, we're entering into some dangerous territory if we keep going down this road. It's scary as hell. And I wonder, how long will it take us to wake up? How long will it take us to acknowledge that maybe we've given government too much power? Maybe it is time for us to stand up and take it back, and to demand no more. No more will we believe your lies, that you will fight for us. Maybe it's time that we remember the promise that we have as American people. Maybe it's time we take our destiny into our own hands and stop believing the lies that are fed to us day in and day out. You know, on the subject of mental health, I have a personal story that I could share with you. Since these lockdowns, I have struggled tremendously. I know that our tyrannical governor here in North Carolina, our tyrant little Roy Cooper, he shut down the gyms. And if you've kept up with me at all, or if you know anything about me, I'm very passionate about the gym. Working out has done tremendous things for me, both physically and mentally. And during this pandemic, he shut down the gyms through executive order, something he has no power to do. He shut down the gyms, and for a long time, I was out of a place to work out. So I had to stay at home. I had to quarantine myself as if I was on house arrest, even though I'm perfectly healthy. And I will tell you guys, those months that I spent from around March to the early part of the summer, perhaps I'm thinking back about it, it might have been closer to August. But those months that I spent from March to about August were hell for me. The gym is one of the few things that keeps me mentally sane. Mental health is important too. And we cannot allow these tyrants to run our lives. We cannot allow them to tell us that we can't be with our families. You know what? We've allowed it. And it's time to say no more. What's more important? Are our lives more important? Or is the false sense of security? Now, some people will hear what I just said, and I'm sure they'll try to brand me as two things. They'll try to say that I'm selfish, and then brand me as some sort of right-wing conspiracy theorist in order to dismiss my credibility. Well, you know what? I will not be considered selfish for believing in individual liberty. Your liberties are not selfish. It is not selfish to believe that you have a right to provide a living for your family. It is not selfish to believe that you have a right to worship your Creator in however way you choose, in whatever manner you choose to worship. I don't know a libertarian in existence that has been against social distancing and masks if someone chooses to wear them and to participate in that, as long as it's voluntary. That's what libertarianism is about, being free to live your life as you choose to do so. What I am against is mask mandates. What I am against is forced business closures. What I am against is government meddling in the economy in the name of public security. That is tyranny, and I will speak out against it as long as I've got breath in my body. I'm against people trying to prevent people from exercising their fundamental rights of freedom of association, freedom to worship their God. I will oppose that till the day that I die. These are rights that we were given because we are human, given by our Creator. No man can take them away. And we must stand for these rights. Otherwise, these tyrants will try to take them away, as they have. We've seen horrible examples of this in places like California and New York City, where religious liberty has been trampled on over and over and over again in the name of safety from coronavirus, a disease or a virus that has over a 99% survival rate. What kind of load of horse crap is this? There are bigger things at play here, guys. It's pushing it to see how far it can go. Don't be played for a fool. I'm not saying coronavirus isn't real. Of course it is. But they have taken this and manufactured a crisis so that they can push the Overton window a little farther down the road to total government control. Now, if you heard the phrase Overton window and you have no idea what I'm talking about, I encourage you to read the Overton Window series. It's a series of two books written by Glenn Beck. It's The Overton Window and The Eye of Moloch. And in The Overton Window, the first book of the series, he talks about how government will take a crisis, be it a domestic terror attack or a natural disaster, or sometimes even a manufactured crisis, to instill fear in the people. And they will use the fear that has been created to push things on the populace that they otherwise wouldn't be able to get away with. And that is what I firmly believe they have done with coronavirus. You can see many examples of it. And I'm telling you right now, Don't believe a word that I say without questioning it. I'm presenting you information. I'm presenting you a perspective. My job as a commentator, that literally is my job, to give you perspective on the news and political issues that are happening. But how many people in the media do you know that say, don't take a word I have to say for truth automatically and question everything? Not many today, right? Trust me, believe me. That's what they'll say to you. Well, I'm telling you right now, take the information that I'm presenting you. Look around. Observe the next time you watch the mainstream media. If you still watch them. I'm sure the reins are in the toilet. But next time you see these guys, and they say, trust me, believe me. Oh, fear, the experts say this. The experts say that. You've got a mind. You can think. You can reason. That's part of the beauty of being human. Use those gifts and those abilities that you have to be able to critically think and challenge the information that you've been presented. Sometimes you may find that it's true, what the people are telling you. Other times you will find that it's not. And then other times you will find that you've been, not only is it not true, but that you've been intentionally misled. I promised you when I started this program that I would never intentionally mislead you. And I'm telling you right now, take the information that I presented you in this episode and challenge it. Do with it what you will. But I'm telling you that I believe that they have used coronavirus to push all sorts of tyranny on the American people. And I won't stand for it. I'm asking you, if you believe in liberty, to join me. To not allow government to use this manufactured crisis over a virus that is real. Don't get me wrong, it's real. But it's overblown. Don't allow them to use it to take away our rights. Will you join me and take a stand? I need you. I can't do it alone. This country needs you. The future generations of Americans, if we are to remain free, need you. I ask you, will you stand with me? It's impossible to do this alone. But as I've said before, I am convinced that if enough of us stand together, enough of us beautiful individuals stand together, then we can make a group that will instill the fear, the proper healthy fear, back into our elected officials to remind them that they work for us, not the other way around. Until the next time, this has been an episode of Revolution's Revival. I'm your host, Caleb Shoemake. I wish you love, peace, prosperity, and liberty.